so much of healing is a partnership, and that someone comes to me and they feel heard and understood, and that compassion and that connection goes such a long way toward guiding them to wellness.
Okay. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Uncharted Performance. Season 6 is rolling right along, and this week we have a very fun conversation with a very good friend and a fellow CrossFitter, Tracy Beck, about a topic that is often misunderstood, but often thrown around in fitness circles. Before we get to Tracy, if you are new to the podcast, we are the Lollapalooza of Fitness and Strength Training, where we learn from the best and brightest in the fields of functional fitness, strength, movement, self-development, nutrition, and wellness. Great advice, guidance, nuggets, tips, hidden gems that we can apply inside and outside the gym to elevate our performance. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a second to rate and review on iTunes. Through the end of this month, August, we will randomly select a reviewer to win a pair of brand new training shoes. It means a ton to us. And also lets us know how we're doing well, and if not, how to improve, and helps to give our guests gain more exposure. Last but not least, make sure to tag us on Instagram or Twitter whenever or wherever when you are catching the show. And if you ever have a guest in mind that you think will be a great fit for Uncharted, definitely let us know. We would love to hear from you. Shoot us an email, a direct message on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Now, back to Tracy of Connected Physical Therapy and Wellness. Tracy has completed extensive continuing education in manual therapy techniques for the spine through the University of St. Augustine, also myofascial work through Anatomy Trains, shoulder treatment through Partridge Seminars, and foot mechanics and orthotics prescription. She's completed the highest level of training available in primal reflex release technique from Superspine, something that we touch on briefly in our conversation. She is certified in level 1 FST through Octape. That's something that we're going to get into extensively in the episode. She's a certified weightlifting sports performance coach through USA Weightlifting and a certified level 2 advanced IASTM practitioner. That stands for Instrument Assisted Soft Tissue Mobilization through Hawk Grips, among other things. Tracy has worked as a teaching assistant for fascial stress therapy courses with the Stretch to Win Institute as well. In a nutshell, she is a sponge and a student of movement, very accepting and open to learning and breaking from the traditional for-profit model of physical therapy. Tracy comes very highly recommended from several of our past guests, including four-time Olympian Joe Logan of Ashland University and Tom Rini of Black Flag Athletics. As I mentioned before, she is an avid CrossFitter, which lends to a deeper understanding of the demands on the body, the movements performed, and their intricacies. She walks the walk by creating commonality and having a shared interest as many of her clients. The crux of our conversation centers around fascia, defining and understanding the fascial system and why it is important for athletes and non-athletes alike. What and how she listens and has conversation with her tissue, topic, and relevance of force absorption and return, the importance of flexibility reserves and healthy connective tissue, and how we can challenge our tissue in a healthy way, and what types of movements can facilitate the development of a healthier fascial system. With that said, let's learn from one of the best, Tracy Beck.
You. All right, let's do it. We are back. We are we're joined by a person I get to see a lot more of in the past, I guess, 6 months, because we are back in Black Flag Athletics, our home,
yes.
Both of us.
Yep.
I am joined by Tracy Beck of Connected PTW. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing very well. wearing a very bright blue shirt, yep, on a very nice day today.
This is a gorgeous day.
It's been very, very humid and hot the past few days. There's a nice breeze going through the gym.
Yep.
I imagine it's actually a perfect day for a workout in here. But what does PTW stand for?
Physical Therapy and Wellness.
Okay. And if people want to come and train with us, let me rephrase that. If people want to find you at Black Flag,
mm-hmm,
and we'll tag this, we'll link all this up. Okay. Where do they need to go? Where are you in Black Flag exactly?
My office is in the front. So when you come in the door, if you hang a right immediately, I'm right there.
Awesome.
Yeah, back the hallway, hanging out with the coaches.
Yes, and I've had the pleasure of working with you, and it was an awesome experience, and we'll get into that shortly. But before we do, a quick confession, because we met a while ago.
Yeah, we did.
Before I joined Black Flag. Mm-hmm. And I never thought to do this with you. And it's like sometimes there's something like right in front of you, like when you're looking for those for your glasses and they're right on front, right on your face.
That is my life. Yes, yeah. I understand completely.
So I apologize.
No apologies necessary.
But both Tom Rini, a good friend of ours, mm-hmm. And a former guest of Uncharted Performance, Judd Logan, recommended you highly. Judd even more so than Tom. But that's relative because they both obviously highly recommended you to be on the show. But Judd was speaking like he couldn't stop complimenting you. He's like, there's this lady up there in Avon because he's down in Ashland. Yeah. There's all this work. I don't know what it's called. And we're down there with Mark Valenti. So
yeah.
we'll try to basically explore why are you so complimented by not only those two gentlemen, but everybody that you work with.
I'm very grateful for the kind words.
Okay. And Judd has obviously sent a bunch of his athletes.
Yes, I was able to work with a few of his athletes. They were all delightful. They were really fun to work with. It was good.
All right. So as you guys might notice, Tracy's is very soft-spoken, very relaxed.
Sorry, do I
most of the time?
Up?
No. Okay. No. But I think that will play a part in terms of how we explore what you do and the value of it. But before we get into that again, you do CrossFit.
I do. Here at Black
Often.
Flag.
Often. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's awesome.
So let's get started there. How did you get into CrossFit? And how does it help you, I guess, do what you do?
Okay. Well, I started because I was looking to grow the business. Mm-hmm. So I was just going around to different gyms in the area and introducing myself and saying, hey, this is what I do and this is how I can help contribute, you know, help your athletes, that kind of stuff. And Dave Rabbit was the owner of Black Flag at the time, and he was tremendously welcoming about coming in and just really having a dialogue and working with him. And he's like, well, have you ever tried CrossFit before? And I'm like, no, I do yoga. Like that's kind of about it. And
polar opposites a little bit.
Exactly. But he's like, you should come on in and try it sometime. So I came in and I did the on ramp and oh my God, it was so much fun. Like I'd never touched a barbell before in my life.
Wow.
So I was like instantly feeling like badass.
just from touching the barbell.
It was not accurate, but it felt that way. but it was really, really fun. And I just really took to it. I enjoy the challenge of it.
So how long has it been now since you started?
That would have been probably December 2013 when I first came here. Mm-hmm. Maybe early 2014 when I would have started.
Okay.
So, and it was on and off for a while. I took some breaks, but then really cranked down the last year or so.
Okay. And a lot of, I don't want to say a lot because actually I don't know. I'm just assuming here. But a number of your clients are also CrossFit athletes.
Yes.
So you're participating in class with some of your clients.
Mm-hmm.
So just to, I guess, to follow up with that original question, how does, again, do you take anything away from the class when you're working with those athletes in your practice?
I take away a greater understanding of the movement.
Okay.
I take away a greater understanding of the demands on the body. Mm-hmm. There's a certain commiseration when they come and they're like, oh man, my hamstrings. And I'm like, I know, it was deadlifting. Like, so there's that piece of things. I try not to creep on people when we're working out. I try to just turn off my PT brain and just work out. But, you know, sometimes if it's a client that we're doing some problem solving with, or I know it's someone that I'm kind of working on in the back of my mind, then I'll peek over every now and then during class, and now no one's going to want to be in class with me.
when they hear this.
but for the most part, I think the biggest way it's helped the practice is just being part of this community and being immersed in it. Mm-hmm. And so people come up to me after class and they're like, oh, this thing's been bugging me. Or, you know, is this something I should get checked out? Or is this something we should do? Or can you just show me a quick stretch or whatever? And I love being there. I love being a resource for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes a couple times it's happened when someone will come and they'll be like, I just tweaked my back in class. And if I have the availability, I'll pull them straight onto the table and let's fix the problem when it's one problem, not 3 days from now when we have one problem and five compensations. And I love having that kind of accessibility.
Okay.
And I love being able to contribute to the community like that, awesome. As well as participate in it.
Because I think a lot we have the pleasure of having Matt Stevens and Chad Teague on in the past, mm-hmm. but it's something that we haven't discussed with them. But it's being a practitioner, mm-hmm. Whatever your field is, but also you know being involved in whatever your clients
sure.
are also doing.
Yeah.
But you also do because you don't play NFL in NFL right now.
No, I do not. That is an accurate statement.
Or play in the NBA, but you do have your clientele ranges from across the board.
Yes, it does.
So I think being able to be physically inclined because you know there's some PTs and like or practitioners in, mm-hmm. in this field that aren't necessarily as active or active sure. at all. In the field. So I don't really know where I'm going with this, but I think
it builds some credibility when you walk the walk.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm there with my clients living that healthy lifestyle, I understand the demands of that and that creates a commonality. And you know, as well as the shared passion and the shared interests. But yeah, and
thank you for saving me, by the way.
Yeah, totally. I got your back. but you know, so much of so much of healing is a partnership and that someone comes to me and they feel heard and understood and that compassion and that connection goes such a long way toward guiding them to wellness.
Okay. Awesome. Another thing you've done, because you have a ton of certifications and this is probably, because we usually tape the intro to the actual podcast after we tape it, but so I'm doing some sort of weird time warp right now, but we'll include all your certifications in the intro.
I'm with you. It's all good.
But one that stands out is that you got a USA level one, mm-hmm. right? But you with no intention of coaching Olympic weightlifting.
Right.
So why the fuck
why, do you... Why would I why, go why are you trouble?
Spending? Why are you spending $500 on a cert that you're not technically quote-unquote using?
Right. Hopefully USAW doesn't hunt me down and take my certification away now because I told them I'm not going to coach. No, I wanted a deeper understanding of the movements.
Okay.
You know, I got what we were learning in class, but I wanted to be able to speak the language to understand more of the intricacies. So when an athlete comes to me and says, I tweaked my hip in the bottom of a snatch, and I can see in my mind what that movement is. I understand the demands on the body. I understand the positions that they were in. And then I can start reverse engineering and problem solving from there. And having a more in-depth understanding of the fundamentals of Olympic weightlifting just helps that entire process, as well as communication, you know, because, I mean, it would be harder to trust someone to work with you and problem solve if I had to go, okay, now tell me what a snatch is. Can you show me?
Yeah.
Right. But we can have this conversation and I can speak the language and it makes the whole process a lot easier. But it was very much for depth of knowledge and understanding.
Awesome. So I'm going to beat a dead horse with one more kick here.
Okay.
But I think this actually happened about within the last 2 weeks. I don't remember when, but one of the athletes asked me to go over the Turkish getup with him. I think it was one of
I was totally creeping on you.
So, and I had never seen anybody do that.
I'm sorry.
Not good or bad, not good or bad, but no, it's somebody, because I kind of noticed out of the corner of my eye that you were paying attention as much as she was, or even more so. Mm-hmm. And so why were you doing that? Is it for that same reason?
Yeah, you were doing a really good job.
Awesome,
like you
thank
were doing
you.
An awesome job explaining that. So,
that's the reason I asked that question.
Yeah. Totally self-serving. Yeah. you never know when you're going to find that one phrase, that one cue that's really going to connect with someone. That nails the concept for me, right? So one of the things, like you always say that Olympic lifting starts from the floor. That is an incredibly powerful image to me, and it reminds me to look at the ground reaction forces with it. Same thing with a Turkish getup. I was listening because there are little nuances and little cues and little turns of phrase that everybody does a little bit differently, and I will gratefully absorb all those little pearls of wisdom from the brilliant people around me.
Okay.
And I think when there's that kind of acceptance and openness to idea exchange, then it just makes us all better as a whole. I mean, it makes me better as a practitioner, but if all of us do that, then it makes us better as a community and as a whole.
Awesome. Yeah. And that goes for anybody, and coaches, practitioners, or whatever your field is. Something I heard recently from Gray Cook, and this kind of, I guess, emphasizes that point, is when you're coaching, you never know who's watching.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are coaching and working with a class, or if you have an athlete in your office and you're working with them, maintenance or recovery, just be mindful of how would you want someone to talk about you and how you coached. So I think that's very powerful, is that make sure that every interaction is of high quality, of something that somebody off the street can come in and say what you just said all the time.
I see
about
what,
every
I see
single
where you're
coach.
Getting that. Yeah.
I'm not very good with words.
No. I just see it as an intrinsic versus extrinsic view. I'm always so completely, entirely focused on giving my client the best that I possibly can and the best of me that the rest of it and the perception just happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? But I see where he's coming from, you want a certain standard of excellence to make sure you're always meeting, even if it's an off day. So,
exactly.
You know, that makes sense.
And I think if you have that approach, not everybody has that same approach, right? So even if you are having an off day, does it mean that level drops? If that makes sense.
I try really hard not to. I mean, I'm only human.
All right, so speak.
But I try really hard not to. I mean, I'm there with whoever my client is.
Exactly. So finally, let's get to the topic.
Okay.
and being your client. And so I went into you as a more of a maintenance session. Because there's literally nothing bothering me, right? And I think that's a lot of the athletes in the gym go that. So make a note of that. You don't always have to go see somebody.
Yes, please come see me before you get hurt. I love getting people before they get hurt.
Yeah. Not that anybody gets hurt here, but just in general.
Right, just in general. Well, I think that goes with the... sorry, I'm going to branch off.
Please do.
The traditional model of physical therapy, that you get hurt, you go to your doctor, you get a prescription, you go to a physical therapist 3 times a week for 4 to 6 weeks, depending on what your insurance company can give you. And that's part of why my company is Connected Physical Therapy and Wellness. And that was a challenge, is to break out of that very rigid medical model and the mentality they only go to a PT when I'm hurt. Come to me beforehand. Yeah. Come to me beforehand, and we can look at mechanics, and I can give you stuff to work on. And, you know, not that, you know, I'm looking to sell you 30 visits. I'm not. I'm looking to give you tools so that you can take care of yourself, and you never have to see me because you're hurt. So,
okay.
So a little difference in perspective there.
So
sorry.
I'm coming in. No, you're good. No, please. And as we go through this, please, because we've talked about it after our session, is that I do want you to go off on these tangents because it's valuable information. So what did you do to me?
What did I do? What did you do to me?
Because when I walked out, I felt like I was high.
Yeah.
I felt... And like a very in a good way, right? I wasn't paranoid. Not that I smoke, but
no judging.
No judging. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. But I was extremely relaxed. I felt, you know, it was a kind of a flow, meditative state. You know, So what did you do to me in those 60 minutes? What happened?
So the bulk of what I did was fascial stretch therapy,
okay.
With a couple other things thrown in. But basically, I allowed your parasympathetic nervous system to activate and calm everything down in your body. So I allowed your body to come home.
Okay.
Is what it was. You know, just facilitating that kind of calmness, that relaxation, and it makes the whole stretching process more effective.
Okay. I was going to say, why is that important?
But, okay. That's right. Cool story, bro. Yeah, well, actually,
yeah. I can't. You beat me to it. So how do you go about that? How do you relax me? You know, what is, if you can describe what you do in words.
Okay. So the nuts and bolts of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
cause it's very interesting cause I have never had that experience with somebody else in a practitioner setting. Mm-hmm. I use Chad cause it was most recent. Chad has worked with me for the past 3 months, mm-hmm. especially when I went through some really, had a bad time, mm-hmm. And he's been extremely helpful, but he's very hands-on and has a good pain
yeah.
with Chad, with some of the things that he does, and I feel awesome afterwards, but mm-hmm. working with him.
And honestly, I have clients that would say the same thing.
Okay.
So it's
kind of dependent.
It's very dependent on what we're working on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. But so let's take us through and whoever's mm-hmm. listening and watching how we started and basically walk us through what you did to relax that tissue, that fascia. If mm-hmm. I'm saying anything correct, please.
You're good. Me. Fascia, tomato, tomato.
Tissue. It's, yeah. Cause that's what we want to explain better. And
okay.
We might want to circle back, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So we're looking for nuts and bolts right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I'll do a quick assessment and, especially if it's for a wellness session or, you know, just a maintenance session. Just a quick assessment of sort of where the body is and are there any problems that are really jumping out at me? Mm-hmm. And then we get you on the table. And so the neat thing about FST is that it goes in a very logical order with the goal of addressing the long fascial lines, looking at the body as a connected whole. So we would start locally. Usually I start lower body first, and we'd start at your hip and work everything that attaches around your hips, and then it kind of grows out from there. So we're stretching your hip, then we're stretching your hip and down into your knee. Then we're
stretching how are you stretching? Because I think that's important to point out.
So FST is very much about they call it the stretch wave. So it's the idea that as the ocean ebbs and flows, same thing with a stretch. So you're greeting the tension in the body and then you're backing away from it and you're moving with the client's breath and with your breath mm-hmm. and you greet that tension and back away. And there's a play, there's a groove to it. And, that groove and the fact that you're, generally working in a pain-free range, it lets your body feel safe. And it lets your nervous system calm down.
Okay.
And when that happens, your muscle tone drops, which means we can get a deeper stretch. So the whole thing just spirals in on itself in a beautiful way mm-hmm. that, you know, we can get a deeper stretch. So then you relax more and then we get a deeper stretch and you relax more. And we gradually work our way deeper and farther into the fascial net until we're doing, a stretch that's all the way down your leg and catches up into your body and up into your shoulder as well, if you're flexible enough mm-hmm. to do that. Okay. So I think what you were feeling that was really unique was probably that stretch wave, mm-hmm. that give and take, that play. So it's not I'm going to hit the end range of what this muscle can do, and I'm going to hold it there for 30 seconds come hell or high water, right? I don't care how bad it hurts. I'm just going to stay there. That is a completely different way to interact with your body, and that is not going to feel safe. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you take a softer approach, if you play and you listen to what the body is giving you.
What are you listening for? Quote unquote.
I know. I jokingly say I'm having a conversation with your hip, or yeah. I'm having a conversation with your leg. So tissue has a feel. Okay. And it depends on what kind of tissue, where in the body you are. It depends on is that tissue hydrated or dehydrated, young or old, active or sedentary, just worked out or pre-workout. It's that feel that I'm listening to. So I'm listening with my hands.
Okay.
And I ask for a movement and the body responds. So I go, okay, let's go this way. Nope, body doesn't like that. All right, let's either ask a different way or ask more gently, more slowly, a different motion. Mm-hmm. We need to do something else first. But there's always a feel. And when the body starts to relax, and when we can get in there and really get things moving, there's a give. It's just everything goes.
Okay.
And then you can get in and work a little deeper in the tissue.
Is that when it gives? Mm-hmm. Is that what healthy tissue feels like?
Yes.
When you talk
to
it,
there should be a little bit of bounce, a little bit of spring, mm-hmm. some rebound, but not in the sense that I'm hitting it hard and it's bouncing back at me. Just a little, there's a little give and take there, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas if something's stuck, sometimes it's like hitting a brick wall. Like I push and I'm just, there's nothing. Okay. The tissue's giving me nothing back. Or it could feel creaky, or it could feel poppy or snappy. And depending on what a body's telling me, what a body's giving me, I have to adjust to get to the end goal of getting that body to let go.
All right. So I interrupted you, but you were talking, you start locally at the hip, mm-hmm. at the ankle. So it's the major joints.
Mm-hmm.
And then where do you go from there?
Well, if you look at human development,
mm-hmm.
Everything develops, into out, proximal to distal. Okay. Right. So working, even, you know, from an embryological point of view, it makes sense, as well as a functional body point of view, it makes sense that, you know, movement starts from your core and goes outward. Mm-hmm. You address the bigger joints first. So if I was starting upper quarter, I'm typically starting with the shoulder and the shoulder blade. If I'm starting lower quarter, then I'm starting with the hip and the hip girdle.
Okay. So you break the body into quarters.
That's a PT phrasing.
Okay.
I think that's the, you have to from a practical standpoint, because you got to pick a body part and start somewhere.
Okay.
Right. when you're not warmed up, if I tried for a whole body stretch, that would not be super effective. Mm-hmm. Right. So you got to kind of pick at the thread and then unravel the whole thing.
Okay.
Right. You got to have a start place. But there's also the practicality. I've got a person laying on their back on the table. So hip's a good place to start, you know? So there is a theoretical aspect to why that's a good thing to do. And there's a very practical aspect to why that's a good thing to do. And I lost track of the question.
So we're starting locally, and where are we going?
Yeah, we're working distally. So like I said, you start at the hip, and then you're looking at everything that crosses the hip, everything that crosses the hip and the knee, everything that crosses the hip and the knee and the ankle.
Okay.
Hip, knee, ankle, trunk. And then if we get a reach with an arm as I'm stretching down your leg, then we're connecting the entire thing all together.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break in a second.
Okay.
I should have probably asked this question. That's what I meant earlier when I said we'll circle back.
Okay.
For those that don't know what fascia is, or the fascial system.
Ooh, okay.
What does that mean exactly?
Okay. It depends who you're talking to.
Okay.
Because different schools of thought have different opinions on that. You know, what I learned in PT school as to what is fascia, was very, very sort of narrow and broken down, but I think that was the entire view of, medical view of the body. So for example, a more traditional skeletal centric view of the body is that, the skeleton is like like a coat hanger or like a coat rack, mm-hmm. and then everything hooks onto it, right? You got muscles, and then you got some internal organs hooked mm-hmm. on there, right? And the skeleton is that stacked structure, okay? So I subscribe more to the Thomas Myers Anatomy Trains view of the fascial system, as fascia is a three-dimensional web. It's a net, and the shape of the body is defined by the tension between that net and the bones that are suspended in it, the structures that are suspended within that net.
Okay.
And when you change from seeing the body as this sort of stacked structure where you look at bits and pieces to a tensional arrangement where everything is so much more interconnected, that was a very vital piece of changing how I view the body and how I practice. Because suddenly you realize that a shoulder problem has, because it's a tensional net, because there's a relationship with everything, that shoulder problem has influence on the tension in the opposite hip, in the lower leg, to the other shoulder, to the neck. Everything's interrelated. So tension in any one place translates into accommodations elsewhere.
Okay.
And I think when you view the body as a whole like that, then you can really get down to the nitty-gritty of problem solving, mm-hmm. as opposed to looking very myopically and very locally, and you end up playing whack-a-mole with symptoms.
Okay.
So
I think that's a takeaway, because my question was going to be, so why should the normal athlete or gal or guy walking down the street mm-hmm. care about the fascial system?
Right.
Why should they care? Why you just described in the past 2 or 3 minutes?
Right.
What's the takeaway?
The takeaway is because that's how your body works.
Okay.
That's how your body functions. So I think we have a tendency to break down the body into these very user-friendly little bites mm-hmm. into a shoulder or an elbow or a hip or a low back or a knee. And we lose that kind of zoomed out perspective of that hamstring strain doesn't exist in and of itself. It exists in the continuum of how your body uses your hamstrings. So instead of looking at, okay, I am going to work on the hamstrings origin to insertion, point to point, there's the muscle. You look at that hamstring lives in a continuum of a fascial line that starts at the bottom of your foot, goes all the way up the back of your leg, up your back, wraps around your neck, and then attaches to your forehead. Like, that's one huge long line of okay. tissue, and that's how your body uses it. So that's how we should treat it.
Okay. So what I thought of, you just blew it up exponentially.
I don't know if that was a good thing.
In terms of my approach or understanding was always, hey, it's usually if something's bothering you, it's usually something that surrounds it, like above or below
Correct.
It, right?
Correct.
We're talking about here, it's literally, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, something in my calf could be affecting something in my left or right shoulder.
Yes.
Hypothetically speaking.
Yeah. So a really good practical,
or vice versa.
Right. Really good practical example would be patellofemoral pain in a runner, which is one of my least favorite things to treat because it's incredibly complicated and there's a ton of moving parts. But so you start local and then kind of work your way out, and realizing that, you know, the knee gets caught between the mechanics of the foot and the mechanics of the hip. Okay. So then we keep looking a little farther and a little farther. All right, let's get the hip working right. Still not working. Let's look a little farther. And then you look to realize that when they're running, there's this crossbody hold, and a corresponding fascial line would be a spiral line issue. So there's a crossbody hold from this shoulder to this hip, which is affecting their rotation, which affects how that foot hits the ground, which affects their knee. If you can correct this, if you can stretch what needs to be stretched, strengthen what needs to be strengthened to correct that whole rotation, then the knee pain stops.
Beautiful. And great point to stop. And we'll be right back with Tracy. Whatever you consider.
You do you.
Exactly. Are we on? We are back with Tracy Beck of Connected PTW at Black Flag Athletics. If you wanna, if you ever want to come and train with us and check us out, definitely stop by. The door is pretty open.
The doors. Yes, multiple, and they are open, and it's gorgeous in the summertime. Yeah. So yeah, come on out.
Yeah, the place
is something heavy with us.
Exactly, it's fully renovated. It looks pretty awesome. Yeah,
it's gorgeous here.
And it was rated number one.
Yes.
By the people.
Cleveland Hot List.
Yeah, number one on Cleveland Hot List. That's what's up. All right. So back to you. So why do we stretch?
Okay. Because.
That's a very ambiguous question.
That is a multifaceted question. Because fascia is it's kind of like a pet that you have to feed and water and move. You know, it needs to be hydrated. It needs to be, your body needs to be well nourished, and you need to move it. So if you're inflexible, then your connective tissue can't rebound like it's supposed to. It is, so the fascial system, that fascial net, the web, however you want to look at it, its fundamental job is force absorption and return, right?
Okay.
So kind of like a trampoline.
Okay.
Right? So it needs to be flexible enough to absorb the force and strong enough to return it back to you so you can get what you need out of it, right? So you have some bounce.
Okay.
Right? If it's too tight, then when you go to move, say it's in a less expected range, then you're not going to have the flexibility reserves to accommodate for that. So you're going to hit the hard end of your connective tissue, and instead of it being able to give and bounce back, it's going to tear. It's going to, and then you get injuries, okay. Right? So building flexibility reserves, not just to be flexible enough for what you want to do, but building flexibility reserves for those unexpected moves,
okay.
is really valuable from an injury prevention
standpoint. So receiving a snatch in not a perfect overhead squat position, maybe the right foot is a little forward, a little back, your hips, I guess, in a compromised position.
Yeah, or you just shank it and miss one. Okay. I mean, sometimes it happens,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
And you got to be prepared. I mean, not that your body has to be capable of handling whatever movements are necessary to survive that without getting really hurt, right? So whether that's dumping a barbell, whether that's you stepped off the curb wrong, you know, at the grocery store.
Okay.
There needs to be some reserve there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where stretching and building flexibility helps. There's also from the perspective of just having healthy connective tissue, like anything in the body, it responds to strain. So as you stress it in different directions, through different movements, the body is going to remodel and respond in a healthy way. So challenging your connective tissue through stretching or through different planes of movement is really valuable for just building a generally healthy body.
Okay. Can we have, can we strengthen that fascia, that tissue through your approach? Because something that you just mentioned was we need to have enough flexibility and flexibility reserves to bounce back, but also be strong enough to bounce back. Can we strengthen that tissue as we dance?
yes, in the sense that, like I said, when you stress it, it becomes more resilient.
Mm-hmm.
But also in the sense of addressing the entire three-dimensional aspect of fascia. So say you're a runner and all you do is ever run. You're really only using your hip through, let's be generous and say 50% ish of its available range of motion, right? So that means when you're looking at this gorgeous three-dimensional web that houses the functional beauty of your hip, you're only ever stretching like this one little stripe. That means all these other little nooks and crannies and corners, they never get moved, which means they don't get that stress response. They don't get the hydration. They don't get the nutrition that they would if you took the time to address that movement. So as far as, you know, having a healthy fascial system, yes, exploring three-dimensional movement is very important. And yes, FST can be a valuable part of that.
Okay.
As far as, you know, can you overstretch? Yes, in the sense that there's always a, there needs to be a balance between mobility and stability. Mm-hmm. And it depends on, oh, this is getting a little deeper, but it depends on why something is tight.
Okay.
Right. So a lot of times people come to me and they're like, oh, my hamstrings are so tight and I stretch them all the time and nothing is getting better. Right. It's never about the hamstrings. The hamstrings are the canary in the coal mine. Right.
Okay.
So it could be tightness at the hip. It could be an instability in the pelvis and your hamstrings are holding on for dear life to try and just stabilize whatever they can. Okay. Right. So, when you start to look into, not just what you're stretching, but why you're stretching it, then that kind of addresses the idea of overstretching. Because if someone has a severely unstable pelvis, I would address their hamstring mobility to the point that, their tone drops and we sort of, have a blank slate to then work with toward activation. Right.
Okay.
So, okay, let's, the hamstrings are doing way more than their fair share of the work. Let's stretch them, ease them out enough that they drop down. So they're not overworking. Now we can get everybody else talking, all the freeloaders, we got to get them working too. Right. So, so I guess I don't see it so much as, you know, can you overstretch versus, making sure that the stability and strengthening piece is still incorporated into your program.
Awesome.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
It does.
Okay.
You mentioned hydration a couple of times.
Yeah.
This is going to be maybe the dumbest thing you ever heard. Is that just drinking water?
That's a big piece of it. It really is. But there's, oh Lord, there's so much
you're
about.
You're creating space, right? Tell me if I'm completely off base, but I'm thinking like we're trying to, you know, create space in there in that fascia so it, you know, stuff can get in there.
Right.
And hydrate it, quote unquote.
Right.
Am I completely wrong?
Well, in the sense of lymphatic flow, yes.
Okay.
And tissue flow. But okay. So if you have 20 minutes to spare and you totally want to geek out on fascia, there is something, there's a video on YouTube. It's about 20 minutes long. It's called Strolling Under the Skin.
Okay.
And I'm going to massacre the guy's name.
We'll link it up.
French.
We'll find it. Yeah.
It's Gilberto. I can spell it. I can't say it. But so they essentially took a scope and they went under the skin in a live person. And you can see all the little bands, all the little fibers of fascia in these gorgeous fractal patterns.
Wow.
It's tremendous. And it's amazing. You get a whole new appreciation of the intricacy and the interconnectedness of the web, right? But each one of those little fibers of fascia has a water droplet on it. That's part of why it can do what it can do, because each one has a little water droplet on it.
Okay.
It's hydrated. It's mobile. It's like a sponge, you know, like a sea sponge. If you have a dried out sea sponge, you can crush it and it falls apart. If you get it wet, it's beautiful and squishy and spongy.
Oh, awesome.
So there you go.
Cool. So we'll link that up in the show notes. So maybe check out that video after you listen or watch this podcast. What makes you, when you look at your profession or your field?
Oh boy.
What are some of the things that make you cringe?
I get very frustrated when the for-profit model rushes people through rehab.
Okay.
Right. So when you look at going to some of the people that I catch, some of the clients that I get are people who have been through therapy at a big box clinic and it just didn't work out for them. They just didn't get better. And they'll come to me and they'll say, you know, yeah, I spent a couple minutes with a therapist and then I was off doing exercises on my own and no one ever touched me and they might've hooked me up to a machine. And, you know, I was sitting around doing exercises.
So if you're not watching this, Tracy's cringing right
now. Yes, it makes my eye twitch. Like, that model has been born out of the idea that we are going to use evidence-based, and that's a whole other topic, therapeutic interventions to treat the largest number of people, get them as minimally functional as possible, and do that in the shortest amount of time. And the reason is because that's the way places can make the most money. And that's also the way that the insurance companies say, sure, we can do that. And that person can then, you know, walk across the street and be safe. And that's all we really have to pay for. Forget the fact that they would really love to get back to running, or they would really love to get back to hiking. That's immaterial. So that model is very, very frustrating, because it does work for a portion of the population. A statistically significant portion of the population will at least do a bit better in that kind of a model. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times they're not really well. You know, whatever their individual pain was that they were sent for, whether that's, you know, hip pain or elbow pain or whatever, that might get better, but it probably will also come back because they haven't dug down to the root of why did that happen? What else is it interrelated to? And that takes time. It takes a willingness to explore problems. It takes a one-on-one connection, and the willingness to spend the time to make that connection. And not that I'm ragging on other PTs. There are some excellent ones out there, and there are some shady ones out there. Just like in every, you know, in every position,
field,
in every field. Thank you. But the model, that medical based model that they're sort of trapped in, really kind of hamstrings them. You know, it really ties their hands.
No pun intended. Well played.
You know, it really ties them down, and it doesn't foster creativity. And PTs are expensive personnel to have spend time with a client. Right. And that's a big part of why I went off on my own. I wasn't thriving in that environment, and I've worked in some awesome clinics. I really have. I've been very, very lucky throughout my career. But I just needed to step back from the bureaucracy and really get back to one-on-one. Let's sit down together. Let's be a partner for health, and let's problem solve. Let's see if we can really figure out why this works.
Okay. As we close up.
Okay.
Reflecting back on your experience and education and studies in the field. Uh-huh. What has been, or what have been, maybe one or two aha moments for you?
Okay. One was taking Thomas Meyer's Intro to Anatomy Trains course. Okay. And that's where, like I had spoken before, the change in perspective from that stacked, you know, skeletal-centric form of the body to the body as a tensional relationship. And the interrelatedness of that was seriously, I was in the course and, you know, on the Matrix, have you seen the Matrix?
Yeah.
And you know, when Neo goes to see the Oracle and there's the little boy in the monk robe and he like bends the spoon.
Yeah.
And he's like, the secret is there is no spoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was in the course, and when they started talking about the tensegrity model, that tensional relationship, I went, oh, there is no spoon. And I swear the dude next to me, like, what is going on with you? And I'm like, I'm having a moment. Like it was a total, just a fundamental shift in perspective. And that was tremendous. And I think that that's made me a much better clinician, as well as a much better owner of my body.
Okay.
The other one was when I took a course called Primal Reflex Release Technique. And that has to do with how the body's nervous system, as it's a very primitive structure, how that handles our current world, and how that feeds into pain essentially stress as an amplifier for pain.
Okay.
And that was a whole different perspective of how to deal with pain, how to, what a person is going through when they're in pain, and how to navigate that and how to help break down. That comes back to the sympathetic, parasympathetic mm-hmm. response, and trying to bring the parasympathetics through and dampen the sympathetic input. The third one is for sure fascial stretch therapy. Okay. And that's what's really given me tools to break out of the medical-based model and get into it opened a lot of doors in the sports area, and just really again gave me a different way to interact with the body. I still use my, you know, hands on, my old school kind of PT skills. I still get in there and do joint mobs and all that stuff, but FST is such a powerful tool that it clears out a lot of the garbage, and then I can get in there faster. And that saves my hands, which after this many years of practice is a serious consideration.
For sure. If people want to experience that euphoria or that feeling of elevation or highness, let's remind people where they can find you physically and then also on the internets.
On the interwebs?
Yes.
So 33750 Lear Industrial Parkway in Avon. I am located inside Black Flag Athletics. And I'm in the front. Or you'll also usually find me at the 9 a.m. class. Yes. If you want to come lift something heavy with us, that's usually where I am. And then connectedptw.com. And then on Instagram, I'm at connectedptw.
Have you ever done any... This is the last question, I promise.
I'm sorry.
Have you ever done any like seminars or speeches or talks outside of Black Flag?
No, not really outside of Black Flag. I've done several here.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't gone out on the circuit, so to speak.
Okay. Is it something that you've considered doing?
Yeah, you know, it's always sort of been in the back of my mind, but then it's like, oh, okay, I got to get all that organized.
Okay.
All right, on top of everything else. But yeah, it has definitely been in the back of my mind. And, you know, I would be open to it if someone, you know, has an opportunity and would like me to come somewhere and work with them or whatever.
All right. So what's next? What's next for Tracy is she's going to be on a USA tour in 3-4 years. Tracy, thank you very much.
Take it easy, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap on another great episode of Uncharted Performance. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a second and leave a rating and review on iTunes and Stitcher. Each month we will select a winner to win a special prize. This month we are giving away a pair of brand spanking shiny new training shoes. Your choice of Nike Metcons, Reebok Nanos, or Nobles. So make sure to rate and review. Let us know when and where you're listening by tagging us on Uncharted Performance on Instagram or at Reach Uncharted on Twitter. Take care for now and see you next time. And don't forget to use the code Uncharted for 10% off on strength.com on all their supplements. Rage on, UP Nation, and reach the Uncharted.